Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Thank you. us pray. Merciful God, we humbly implore you to cast the bright beams of your light upon your church, that we, being instructed by the doctrine of the blessed apostles, may walk in the light of your truth and finally attain to the light of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Old Testament reading for the service of installation is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land. And on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. And I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. And I will bind up the injured. And I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. This is the word of the Lord. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, the first and second chapters. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, the power, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles, but to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Peter said, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom his master will set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." This is the word of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom
Our text today is from Luke chapter 12. I'll reread the beginning and the end. Jesus said, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants." Peter said, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." This is our text. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Stay dressed for action. That's how the English Standard Version puts it. There's nothing wrong with that, though it's perhaps a bit bland. The King James is more vivid. "Let your loins be girded about." Let your loins be girded about. So, Pastor Schneefloch, members of our Savior and friends in Christ, gird up your loins, which means put on your belt, roll up your sleeves, and tie those work boots. Be prepared to wade in. The Lord has work for us, and we're headed somewhere. That's what it means. Stand always ready to do what your Lord and Master Jesus Christ tells you, because after all, we are all servants of the Most High. And now, Pastor Schneefloch, you are a servant called out to serve the other servants as well. And we are to be like the children of Israel at the Passover. You remember how the Lord said, "On this night I will bring you out of Egypt." So don't be laying around. Be ready. Be prepared for the journey to the promised land. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Keep your lamps burning. An interesting phrase. The world can be a dark place, so we need burning lamps. Our hearts can be dark places too, so we need burning lamps. And the devil is a roaring lion who seeks to devour those who are in darkness, so we need burning lamps. That's why Jesus speaks about keeping our lamps going. What does he mean? What are our lamps? Our lamps are the lamp of faith. And how are they kept burning? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Pastor Schneefloch, as you have opportunity here, as well as with our brothers and sisters in Christ in Troy, speak that word to us. God has called you to be a vessel through which the Holy Spirit fills our lamps with oil so that our faith is renewed and our love burns brightly. As Christians, we are all, pastors and lay people, we are all to live and work with two things in mind. The two things we should keep in mind as we live and work, and I mean every single day, Monday through Friday and Saturday, as well as Sunday. First, it's better to be rich toward God than to lay up treasures for ourselves on earth. One of the worst things that can possibly happen to a Christian, one of the worst things that can possibly happen to anyone, is that they lay up treasure after treasure after treasure for themselves on earth, but like the rich fool, are unprepared when God says, "Today your soul is required of you." It is better to be rich toward God than to lay up treasures for ourselves on earth. And the second thing to keep in mind as we live and work is this: we don't know the hour, but we know that our master is coming again. We don't have to live with a nostalgia about the past, about how good things used to be. I know sometimes we can do that. The good old days of yesterday, or 20 years ago, or 50 years ago, or Martin Luther's time, or the early church, or whatever it might be. I heard a beautiful phrase recently. Someone said they live with nostalgia about the future because of what we have coming. Sure, the past may have had its great moments, but I can promise you the future will be even better. So we don't know the hour, but we know that the Master will come again, and we are to be prepared for the coming of our Master, and you, Pastor Schneefloek, are to help prepare us for the coming of our Master. Because he is coming again to judge the living and the dead, we are to be watchful for his coming, and you are a watchman appointed to give us warning. We are to be prepared for our Lord to come, so that we are like men who are waiting for the Master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Now, what do you think those servants would be expected to do when the Master finally shows up at the house coming back from the wedding feast? Why, we would expect that those servants should be ready and prepared to serve their Master, to do everything that he's needed, to set the table for him, and to serve him well. But this is what Jesus says. Blessed are those servants whom the Master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he, the Master, will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and he will serve them. This is the promise that our Lord gives. As we are girding up our loins and our lamps are being kept burning, and we are awake when he comes, he gives us the promise that he will serve us. When we look forward to the wedding feast of the Lamb at the end, it is not a wedding feast where we are the servants, but it is a wedding feast where we are the guests, and indeed we as God's people are the bride of Christ. And our Lord will come and he will serve us, as he does again today. I'm reminded, even as we think here about service as pastors, and as we think about what that means for us also as members of the congregation, I'm reminded that our Lord himself is the pastor of his church. He is the shepherd of his flock. As our Lord said in Ezekiel, I myself will be shepherd of the people. I will feed my people. I will bind up their wounds. I will heal the sick. I will care for all in their need. One of the things that's important for pastors to remember is that we are not the saviors of the church. We are simply the vessels who are called to point to Christ. We are the ones who are the under-shepherds so that the good shepherd can do his work. And Pastor Schneefloek, today you will have that role here at our Savior. It's not your word that you are to speak, but his word. It is not your gifts that you are to serve the church with, but his gifts. And he equips you to do that. He puts them into your hands. Today he will fill your hands with the very body and blood of Christ so that you can feed it to the people here, so that we can receive the food that we need. As Christ serves us now, in view of that time when he will come again and serve us in the life of the world to come. And there are these beautiful statements that Jesus makes, the blessings for those servants who are prepared and ready. Blessed are those servants whom the Master finds awake when he comes. That sounds, in one sense, like a fairly low bar to set, right? It's not blessed are those servants whom the Master finds doing all sorts of things when he returns. Blessed are those servants whom the Master finds awake. Awake in faith. Of course, even that isn't always easy. We can think of the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane who could not even stay awake with Jesus for 1 hour. But he is the one who keeps us awake. Awake to his life, and awake to his love, and awake to him. And then he says, blessed are those servants again. A beatitude for us as we sit here today, awake or being woken up by our Lord with the promise that we are blessed by him and that he will dress himself and serve us when he comes again. For he does come to serve you today with his gifts, comes to serve you, Pastor Schneefloke, with his gifts as well. He feeds you first so that you can feed the flock in this place. As we all press forward in this life on our journey to the promised land and the life of the world to come. Now, one thing I'm aware of as we install Pastor Schneefloke is that he is better known to us than many pastors when they begin their service in a church. When I began here, none of you knew me at all, brand new, but Pastor Schneefloke is one with whom we are very familiar. That means we know his strengths and gifts. We also know his weaknesses as well. And we must be on guard lest it becomes true what is often said, that familiarity breeds contempt. Now, some of you don't know him that well. As I said, he's only been, he's been with us but away for the last 3 years, and he will continue to be serving away at our sister church in New Hampshire. And I want to simply walk back through the last 3 years. 3 years ago in the summer, we had two sister churches that became vacant in New Ipswich, New Hampshire, and in Troy, New Hampshire. No pastor and very few pulpit supply pastors to help out in a time of need. And so the call went out in the district, is there anyone who can help out? And I responded and said, well, there's this guy in our church. He's occasionally delivered sermons when I've been on vacation under my supervision. And I suppose if no one else is found, we could loan him out to do the same. And so he did. He went to our Redeemer in New Ipswich first, and then later in the summer to Christ in Troy. And he came back and said, Pastor, these sheep need a pastor. They need God's word and his gifts consistently. And I think I could do that. And so began the journey. 3 years of studies, almost complete, one more year ahead. So began the journey of serving there almost every single Sunday and here on occasion, until at the age of 75, you were ordained as a pastor in Christ's church. So you may know him well, you may just be getting to know him today, but today we are receiving back the one whom God had placed into our midst. We are receiving him back in a new way. We prayed for him and Kathy. We've supported him in his studies and service to the Lord. And now the Lord returns him to us as a pastor, as our pastor, whom we share with our brothers and sisters in New Hampshire. And they will receive the lion's share of what he has to give, but he will also serve among us as well. And so today you are taking the place that Peter describes when he said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And Jesus said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. You are called, Pastor Schneefloke, to give us the portion of food that we need at the proper time, to portion God's word for the occasion and the situation, to give to us the law of God when that is needed, to convict us and drive us to repentance, and then to give us that sweet gospel of Christ crucified, a Savior who has borne all of our sins and died for us. It's not an art, it's an art and not a science. And knowing which word to give at which time is something that is learned from study of God's word and in the school of experience, and especially through times of testing and suffering. It's true for pastors, and it's true for Christians as well. Knowing how to apply God's word to your own life is a difficult task. And it is only learned through study, through experience, and also through suffering. You today take the role and position of assistant pastor here, not because you are a superior Christian, not because you have something special about you, but because God wants your people, these people, to receive his gifts. They want us to hear his word. They want us to receive his body and blood and holy baptism and to be taught the faith. And for that purpose, he has called you to this time and to this congregation. But remember who you are. Remember that you are a servant and you are not the master. For the master is coming again, but the master comes to us even now, and the master comes as the one who girded up his loins and who kept his lamp burning and who did it all the way to the cross. Our Lord did what needed to be done for your salvation and for mine, to keep our lamps burning that we might be awake when he comes again. He went to the cross. He bore our sins. He paid for them. He conquered death for us, and he crushed the head of the serpent. And now the light shines brightly, the light of the one who is risen from the dead, the light of Christ who speaks to us in his word, the light of our Lord who gives us his very body and blood, and who does it all through his servants, and now through Pastor Schneefloke. May God bless you in your ministry among us, and may God bless all of us as we receive this servant of Christ, who will keep us awake for our master's return, who will fill our lamps with oil, and who will make sure that we are ready for the journey to the promised land. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. We now receive the offering.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Savior Lutheran Church, Westminster, Massachusetts. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. O Almighty God, by your Son, our Savior, you have always given to your church on earth faithful shepherds to guide and feed your flock. Therefore, we pray, make all pastors diligent to preach your holy word and to administer your means of grace, and grant your people wisdom to follow in the way that leads to life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God,
now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The congregation may be seated. Hear what Holy Scripture says concerning the institution of the office of the Holy Ministry. Matthew chapter 28. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And John chapter 20, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And hear what Holy Scripture says concerning the responsibilities of the office of the Holy Ministry. John chapter 21. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Luke 24, Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." 1 Corinthians chapter 11. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" 2 Corinthians chapter 3. "Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God." 1 Timothy chapter 3. "The saying is trustworthy: if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil." And 1 Peter chapter 5. "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." And finally, hear what Holy Scripture says concerning the strength and promise God gives to those in the office of the Holy Ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. "Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends." And 2 Timothy chapter 3. "Continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by God, the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Having heard these Scriptures, dear brother in Christ, the Lord grant that you receive and keep these words in your heart, so that you may be strengthened and encouraged in your labors. God gathers in his church by and around his holy gospel, and thereby also grants it growth and increase according to his good pleasure. That this may be done, he has established the office of the holy ministry, into which you have been called by the church, and have been ordained and consecrated by prayer and the laying on of hands. It is fitting that you should again acknowledge the responsibilities of this holy office in which you are to serve as a pastor of this congregation. In the presence of this congregation and before our Lord God, to whom you must give an account now and at the last day, I now ask you, do you acknowledge that the Lord has called you through his church into the ministry of word and sacrament?
I do.
Do you believe and confess the canonical books of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice?
Yes, I believe and confess the canonical scriptures to be the inspired word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice.
Do you believe and confess the three ecumenical creeds, namely the Apostles, the Nicene, and the Athanasian creeds, as faithful testimonies to the truth of the Holy Scriptures, and do you reject all the errors which they condemn?
Yes, I believe and confess the three ecumenical creeds because they are in accord with the Word of God. I also reject all the errors they condemn.
Do you confess the unaltered Augsburg Confession to be a true exposition of Holy Scripture and a correct exhibition of the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? And do you confess that the apology of the Augsburg Confession, the small and large catechisms of Martin Luther, the small called articles, the treatise on the power and primacy of the Pope, and the formula of Concord, as these are contained in the Book of Concord, are also in agreement with this one scriptural faith?
Yes, I make these confessions my own, because they are in accord with the Word of God.
Do you promise that you will perform the duties of your office in accordance with these confessions, and that all your preaching and teaching and your administration of the sacraments will be in conformity with Holy Scripture and with these confessions?
Yes, I promise, with the help of God.
Will you faithfully instruct both young and old in the chief articles of Christian doctrine? Will you forgive the sins of those who repent? And will you promise never to divulge the sins confessed to you? Will you minister faithfully to the sick and dying? And will you demonstrate to the church a constant and ready ministry centered in the gospel? Will you admonish and encourage the people to a lively confidence in Christ and in holy living?
Yes, I will, with the help of God.
Finally, will you honor and ordain the office of the holy ministry with a holy life? Will you be diligent in the study of Holy Scripture and the confessions? And will you be constant in prayer for those under your pastoral care?
I will, the Lord helping me through the power and grace of his Holy Spirit.
Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you.
And a happy face for congregation.
You have heard the solemn promise of him called to be your assistant pastor. Will you receive him? Show him that love, honor, and obedience in the Lord that you owe to the shepherd and teacher placed over you by your Lord Jesus Christ. And will you support him by your gifts and pray for him always, that in his labors he may retain a cheerful spirit, and that his ministry among you may be abundantly blessed? If so, then answer, we will with the help of God.
We will with the help of God.
Will you honor and uphold your pastor as he serves Christ in all his God-pleasing responsibilities? Will you aid him as he cares for his family? Will you be diligent to put the best construction on everything
recognizing that love covers a multitude of sins? If so, then answer, we will with the help of God.
We will with the help of God.
The Almighty and most merciful God strengthen and assist you always. Are you willing and ready to assume this public trust and responsibility?
I am.
Edward Compton Schneefloek, I install you as assistant pastor at our Savior Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Please stand as we pray.
Merciful God and Father, you have graciously promised that through the preaching of the crucified Christ, those who believe in him will be saved. By your Holy Spirit, grant grace to Ed, whom you have given to be assistant pastor of this congregation. Grant him readiness and steadfastness in this ministry, patience, understanding, and great zeal. Support and strengthen him in your service, that by your word, your church may be built and increased through your Son, our great High Priest, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Almighty and most merciful God and Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have established your church to be a temple and dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. We give thanks that you continue to provide shepherds to feed and serve your flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made them overseers. We humbly implore you ever to strengthen the labors of your ministers, that through their ministry of word and sacrament, your people may increase in your knowledge and service and grow up into him who is the head, even Jesus Christ, to whom, with whom, and with you and the Holy Spirit be all glory, now and forever.
Amen.
From the New England District Office, I present to you the shepherd's staff as you shepherd the flock here. Go therefore and be a shepherd of the good shepherd's flock. Preach the word of God, administer the holy sacraments, offer prayer for all the faithful, instruct, watch over, and guide the flock over which the Holy Spirit has placed you. Do it not for earthly gain, but with great joy, for you have been called not to lordship, but to serve his flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.
In Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and to pray with me, as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. For us and all the world, that by the grace the Lord's name would be kept holy among us through the pure and true teaching of his word, and we would lead holy lives according to it, and that his name would not be blasphemed or profaned by false doctrine or evil living. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For God's kingdom to come to us and expand, that all transgressors and those blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom would know Jesus Christ, his Son, by faith, and the number of Christians be increased. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our own wills to be crucified daily and sacrificed to the Father's good and gracious will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that all who are in need would be commended to his merciful hands, especially Debbie and Dottie, Frank, Ted, Gwen, Helene, Anthony, Michelle, Stan, Luann, Carol, Sharon, Alicia, Bien, Dan and Patty, Jack, Lindsay, Mark and Kim. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our daily bread, for relief from drought and from a good harvest, that we would be preserved from greed and selfish cares and trust in our Father to provide all our needs. For all expectant mothers and their children, especially for abortion vulnerable women and the little ones whose lives are endangered by abortion. For Michael and Nancy Jane, that they would be kept safe in their return to Italy, and for the Lord to be with them in all their work, studies, and service. And for all who have suffered in the floods, that the Lord would show mercy to them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the forgiveness of our sins and of those who have sinned against us, that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before God, that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For help in every temptation and the subduing of our sinful flesh, that the Holy Spirit would turn us from the world and its ways, and that by his strength we would overcome the devil and all his wiles. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
And finally, for the deliverance from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever, and especially for the Gauguin family and all who will mourn, that they might know the power of Christ's resurrection and the hope of the world to come, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right, and we
it is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord. Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens, and sitting at your right hand, poured out on this day the promised Holy Spirit on his chosen disciples. For all this, the whole world rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, forever praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord God.
will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink, all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you all.
Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations, "The Lord reigns." Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field execute and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples in faithfulness. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, for of his salvation from day to day.
true body and true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you into life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.
Amen.